Would you please turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans here, the book of Romans chapter 15. I'm going to pick up reading in verse 19, where we left off. We did work our way through 19, but I'll go ahead and I'm going to pick up in 18. It says, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It had pleased them, verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." With the Lord's help, I want to preach a message to you tonight entitled, "I'm Coming Soon." I'm coming soon. Lord, I do pray that as we look at the Word tonight, I pray that your Word will have a place in our hearts. Your Spirit will open our minds to what you want to teach us. And I thank you for the testimony of Brother Paul and his heartbeat that we get to see on full display. I thank you for the testimony of the saints there in Macedonia and even the testimony of the poor saints there in Jerusalem. So, Lord, take your word tonight and have your will and way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. "I'm coming soon," Paul is saying to the church in Rome. As you notice there, and even in verse 23, he said that he had a great desire for many years to come to Rome. Now, he's writing this letter, if you remember, it's been a while since we were in this, since we mentioned this, but he was in Corinth when he wrote this epistle. He's on his third missionary journey. He's getting toward the end of his life, but of course we know God has a plan for him to get to Rome. Now, it wouldn't be necessarily the conventional way that we would think, but he would go in bonds. He would go in prison. You remember how he went on the ship, and of course the shipwreck there in Malta, but eventually got to Rome. By the way, isn't it interesting that most of the time things don't work out the way we think they're going to work out when we make plans? We may have plans to do a certain thing, and God just may shift us and turn us this way, or He may delay us, or He may expedite the situation at times. God has His way of doing things, and I think one of the things we learn from Paul, and we learn all the time, is we just need to be flexible people. They used to tell us there in the Coast Guard, we need to be semper gumby, always flexible. And that's what we were set to do. Stand by to stand by, as they used to tell us. But nevertheless, Paul, as much as the Lord would let him, he was planning on going to Rome. By the way, it's good to make plans. It's good to think upon how God is leading and ways that you can prepare to serve the Lord in the future. Paul did that. The children of God did that. But he also knew God could change those plans. And I don't think Malta was in Paul's plans, by the way, when he was shipwrecked there. But he knew that the Lord's hand was on him and leading him. But he had a great desire here to see the saints in Rome. And I just want to pull some truths here as we work through the passage here. First of all, let's take a look at verse number 19 at the end there. He says, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. This is a testimony of a man that did his every effort. He exerted every part of his being and energy to get the gospel to all those around him. Isn't that a challenge, brethren? That's a challenge to me tonight. What effort am I making? And as it says here in the passage, fully preaching or proclaiming the gospel of Christ. Paul was a pioneer by spirit. We may have some that are here tonight. You're just almost a pioneer by spirit. You like blazing a trail. You like just, hey, it's like David Livingston gave the testimony. He was out there exploring Africa and getting the gospel of Jesus Christ to the natives. And what an amazing testimony that is. And he had a young preacher or young missionary write him and basically said that he would like to come as a missionary and he would like to know the way. And David Livingston, in his wit, wrote back and says, I need people that'll come when there is no way. And he was given a message to the young man that look, what we're doing here is we are exploring new territory. And Paul had that kind of spirit. And I like it when people get that. Not necessarily everybody will have that, but I think, don't you agree with me that everybody should at least have a touch of it? It might be a ministry that no one's going to. No one wants to do that ministry. And there's the Holy Spirit touches you in a special way. He puts His hand upon your life and puts a desire to do that which no one else is doing or very few. And you're willing to start. Maybe there's somebody here and right now God's doing a stirring in your heart about maybe perhaps even starting a ministry. Maybe no one's doing that. It could be on a scale level here, even in a local church setting. But Paul was one where he wanted to go where Christ was not being preached. He wanted to go into those areas. If Paul was a member of this church, I'm sure he'd be begging me, hey, we need to go down in those downtown slums of Athens. We need to get down there in Atlanta where no one's going. Where are the people going there to reach them? Why? Where are the Christians? Where are the ones handing out tracts down in the streets? What in the world is taking place? Take me to those places. Let's go where no one's going. Let's go in where people are saying that's too dangerous. They won't listen. It's not going to work. How about these things? Paul said, no, we're going to preach the gospel fully. That's the spirit he had. I hope we'll catch that. And he even had that where he says, I strive in verse 20 to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Now, that's interesting. Paul was not being prideful when he said that, but I believe he is teaching us something here. God had put a special call on this man's life. He said, look, he's not against, because technically Paul did benefit from other servants of God. You know, the apostles. I think of Barnabas. Remember how Barnabas took Paul under his arms and encouraged him? You remember Ananias when Paul first got saved and he was still blind and how God sent him to be an encouragement? That's not what Paul's saying here. He's just saying, look, I'm looking for some new territory that's filled with darkness, that's in desperate need of some light. And I trust that God will help us with that. And it may be an area in your family, and that you people in your family that have not been reached, and you may be their only missionary that reaches out to them. Whether that be even your neighborhood or the place that you live out your daily routine. But you are seeking to just make Christ known. And I realize as I pastor this church, I'm building upon another man's foundation. I think of Tom Miles before me, and then Bill Carpenter before him, and then going on back 221 years of servants. As I look at that pamphlet and all the list of the preachers, I thank God for them. I'm indebted to them. But I tell you, there needs to be a spirit in each of us where we're willing to go where nothing's being done. Even from this location, just going out, seeking what we can do. But notice verse 21, he had a desire to go where Christ was not even named. They didn't even know of him. Notice verse 21, but as it is written, and this is taken from Isaiah. If it's not written in your study Bible, you can write the reference down, Isaiah 52:15. He says, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. This is an incredible verse for soul winners. And by the way, we're all soul winners. Hey kids, listen up. You want to know what a soul winner is? A soul winner is somebody that wins souls. And we ought to all strive to be a person who points people to Christ. Because this is a promise from God. He said there's even places where Jesus' name has not been spoken of, but they're going to reach, they're going to believe when they're reached. I believe that with all my heart. Lost souls cannot and will not be saved unless they believe. They cannot and will not believe unless they hear. They will not and cannot hear unless there be a preacher, a proclaimer. And they will not and cannot be a preacher unless they be sent. And I think of the Apostle Paul was saying here that, listen, let this promise be a blessing. To whom he was not spoken of, the name of Jesus, there are going to be missionaries that are going to be sent, even that we are supporting, and that you are being used to go forth to tell them. And they have not heard, but they shall understand. Praise the Lord. That was an encouragement to Paul's heart. He knew that wherever he went, somebody was going to eventually believe. That's encouraging, isn't it, Brother Tim? It really is. The fact that you and I can be certain that as you are witnessing to people, you will get to those that will believe. That's what that verse says. That's the promise from Isaiah. Paul claimed it. I'm going to claim it. And you claim it. God's going to lead us to people that not even heard of Jesus. Now, there's a lot of people in the South that have heard of Jesus, but I'm going to tell you, this will surprise you. Now, I know there's a lot more light here than other lands. I get it. But I think we would be shocked if we understood how many people are in our own community that have heard the name of Jesus, but they've never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. A lot. And we can reach them. Notice with me here in verse 22, he says, for which cause, and that's basically saying because there will be people that are going to believe. He says, for which cause I have been much hindered from coming to you. All right. So now he's starting to explain a little bit why it's been so long since he's been able to come and see them. And he's basically saying here, although he was hindered spiritually by Satan at times and at the adversary. But here, he's actually talking about that he has been so busy in the Lord's work, he hadn't had a chance to break free. He's been reaching those around him, fully preaching the gospel. And basically what he's saying right here now, I've been hindered in the sense that I have so much to do. It's going back to the title of the message, I'm coming soon. You ever been in that? You've ever been busy and you ever told somebody, I'll be there in a minute. I'll be there in an hour. Hey, can we do that next week? Can we reschedule that? We've all been there. You've been so busy and caught up in what you're doing. And this is what Paul is saying. I have been reaching people left and right and that where Christ hasn't been named, but they're getting saved. And remember, he's writing to the church of Rome, and this was an established church because this church would have been established at the time of Pentecost. Believers from Rome would have gone back and started the church. And we're going to see more of that evidenced here in the closing chapters of this book. But he's writing to a church that had been established to believers. And he says, I am coming to see you. It's going to be soon. Let's keep going here in verse 23. He says, but having no more place in these parts. What is he talking about there? He's talking about, this brother is saying, it's like you in your neighborhood. It's like, I've already shared the gospel with everybody on this street. I'm going to the next one. That's what he's saying here. I've exhausted the places to preach. I've given these folks the gospel, and his pioneering spirit saying, now I'm coming. I'm coming. But he's funny because Paul says, I'm coming, and we're getting ready into this part. He said, but I got some other things I need to do. Paul said, I got to get to Jerusalem. He said, then I'm going to Spain, but when I go to Spain, I'm going to stop by and see y'all. And that's his heart. He says, I have run out of places to proclaim the gospel, and now I'm coming. And notice what he says, I have a great desire these many years to come unto you. He wanted to go to Rome. Well, some people would say, you know, as I mentioned earlier, why didn't he go to Rome first? I mean, that was the center of the known world, and man, that would have been more strategic, if you will, to get the gospel all over the known world. But like as I said, God was already working in that through Pentecost, those believers going back, but there was many other regions of the world that had not been reached. So Paul had him there. And Paul had him reaching the Gentiles, but he also, of course, had a heart for the Jewish people, as always making that a priority. But notice verse 24. Whensoever I take my journey to Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if I first be somewhat filled with your company. This brother needed some fellowship. I believe with all my heart that fellowship is a blessing. I love fellowshipping with you folks. I've been in your homes. I've hung out with you, and we've had fellowships here, and even today at lunch, and just different things like that. It's so important for the believer. I beg you, friend, don't ever be a loner. Get around God's people and let God's people encourage you, and you encourage them. Make it a point. Now, I know some of you are more introverted, you know, and you're just like, I can only take so much of people. I get it. But, you know, you get peopled out and you just go get away a while after that. But the fact of the matter is God has made us where we do need that fellowship. And Paul, who was blazing a trail, he was preaching the gospel. He was a man that was needy for that fellowship. Our missionaries that, hey, listen, let me just throw this out there. Please, when our missionaries come, let's minister to them. All four families that are coming are veteran missionaries that we've been supporting for years. We want to take this conference and make the emphasis of encouraging them. Don't ever let them be standing alone. We ought to overwhelm them just to talk with them and to love them. Overwhelm them in a good way. Encourage them that, hey, you're doing a great work and we appreciate you. We're praying for you. We want to know more about what God is doing. And by the way, you'll hear that. We'll have testimonies Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're going to have something special for the kids. It's going to be a wonderful, spirit-filled time. But nevertheless, this brother needed fellowship. I need fellowship. And I know you do too. So let's never neglect that. Moving on here, he says, But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Why is he going to Jerusalem? To minister, to serve the saints that are there. Well, he calls them right here. He's going to minister to as many as he can. But he even gets more specific in the next verse, because he's going to talk about the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Now, understand, this is not saying that all saints in Jerusalem were poor. But there was a group of them that were struggling severely financially. And due to persecution and different other things going on at that time, Paul is taking an offering that he spoke of in this same letter, you remember, in 2 Corinthians, and it spoke of where we get our grace giving, faith promise missions, where that principle or practice of giving we find from the very people that he's going to talk about here, the Macedonians. They were poor themselves. But get this, they had been so blessed that they wanted to give back. Notice what the Bible says. For they came to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. In verse 26, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor saints which were at Jerusalem. He says, it hath pleased them verily. That's talking about it hath pleased the people of Macedonia. And their debtors they are. Paul was saying that these Gentiles were debtors to the Jews there in Jerusalem, the poor saints in Jerusalem. And it says, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, notice, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. What is he saying here? He's saying here, folks, don't miss it. He's saying these people in Macedonia got so burdened to send some money and funds back to these people that were in great need. And what was their motivation? Their motivation was that they had been benefited and reached by the people of Jerusalem. Don't miss it. They were expressing their gratitude. In fact, said, we are debtors. They said, y'all minister to us in spiritual things. Where does that come from? Remember the churches? Remember the church in Jerusalem? They sent out missionaries. Remember Paul and Barnabas? Remember the others that went out, Silas? Remember all these ones that went out into these areas and they got saved, they got born again, and they got word that the dear brethren in Jerusalem where the missionaries came from and gave us the gospel, they were begging Paul, take something back for them. We're so grateful. We are their debtors. We are indebted to them. They've given us the Word of God. They've given us the Gospel. They've given us the truth of Christ. And we've been saved. Our lives have been changed. And we just want to give back. And that was their message. The Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things. So the least we can do, they said carnal things is talking about material things. The least we can do is send funds to encourage them. You see where our heart is. Notice what it says in verse 28, and I'll close. It says here, when therefore I have performed this, Paul's talking about once I get them the money and spend some time with them, and have sealed to them, I love this. What are the next two words? This fruit. Right there in verse 28. And have sealed to them this fruit. Fruit? Fruit of what? Fruit of the labor of the saints in Jerusalem. I want to encourage you tonight, brothers and sisters in Christ, everything you're doing for the Lord now, you will see fruit eventually in some way. Think upon this. Paul is saying to them, I am bringing this and have sealed to them this fruit. What kind of encouragement was that to those believers in Rome? They're going to be thinking, man, they get this offering and this is from people that we have reached by sending missionaries and the gospel, and they're sending back to us? That's fruit that remains. You remember Paul even prayed that for the Philippians. Don't forget that one. Remember that? This is so important to understand. Remember he said, I pray that fruit may abound to your account. Remember he talked about that in Philippians chapter 4? It's the fruit from their investment in the gospel. And I tell you, these poor saints in Jerusalem, they may not have much money, but I'm telling you what, I'm sure their hearts were just so filled with gratitude. I want us to leave you with this thought. Not only should we give out of a heart of gratitude for somebody reaching us. That's why we give to missions. Somebody reached me. Somebody helped me get the gospel. Now our attitude is, Lord, what can I do? What can I do to get others the gospel? What can I give, Lord? What can you give through me? How can we do more, Lord? How can I make a greater impact that we might see fruit that remains? That's what Paul was describing here. The blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, folks, one of the ways to overcome a spoiled attitude, and I'm preaching to all of us here. One of the ways that we can overcome a spoiled mentality is to realize that we are debtors to everyone around us. That's what he said. Paul said, these Gentiles, Macedonia, they were debtors to the people in Jerusalem. But don't forget, Paul even said that in Romans 1, that he was a debtor to the wise, the unwise, the barbarian, the Greek, the Jews. He could have said, I am debtor to all. And one of the greatest ways that we can realize, spiritually speaking, I'm not talking about financially, that's what the woke crowd teaches. I'm talking about we are indebted to reach people with Christ. No matter who they are and where they are. They don't owe me a thing. But I owe them my life. My life. I owe them my life. You owe them your life. Because you have been saved. I have been saved by this marvelous message, the grace of God. And so may the Lord help us. As we think upon Paul's heart to get to Rome, he said, folks, I'm coming soon, but let me tell you what God's been doing. May the Lord help us. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful for the clarity of it. And I pray tonight, even in this invitation time, that we would respond rightly to the Word of God. Help us to apply it to our hearts as you see fit. Help us to be encouraged by the fruit that is around us. Help us, Lord, to be challenged to be debtors to all those around us, to get them the gospel, to help those that are hurting. Lord, we truly want to be a blessing to this world. Our own country is just falling at seemingly a neck-breaking speed. And I pray that even as it hurts, I pray that we would be more motivated than ever before to get out into this world and to be like the Apostle Paul and fully preach the gospel, knowing that there will be those that are going to get saved. So God, I'm praying that you would help me tonight. Help our church, even as we go into our annual missions conference, to have a vision of what you desire to do in and through us. So Lord, I commit this message to you and the fruit thereof. In the name of Jesus, with heads bowed and eyes closed, we're just going to have a time of invitation.